I imagine, from what I hear talking with people, that a lot of people have read Esther and read it to your kids and read it to your girls and read it to yourself a bunch of times, especially the ladies who are interested in Esther. So it's probably a well-known book here. I've read it before and never got into it like I did this time, and I guess I kind of got started with it with my interest because I thought I'd look up that Feast of Purim, which is talked about here in chapter 9, and they still do it. So I thought I'd read up on that thing, and it was really, it's really quite interesting. So I hope that you read this to your kids. I mean, if there's ever a story in the Bible or a book in the Bible, speaking of that, that you can sit down and read slowly with your kids and try to get them to see the characters, the main characters, what they're doing. This is your classic story. I mean, this has a queen who gets dequeened, and you've got a beautiful lady, and she becomes the queen, and you got the king, and you got the villain in the story, and how the villain tries to mess up the whole program, and he ends up being hung on his own plan, and it's a very interesting story, just a really enjoyable story to read, and how the Jews still celebrate it today. Now, interesting thing to me, and I don't know, I still don't have the answer other than this is the way God said it, but Esther takes place before Nehemiah. Looking at a couple supposed facts, historical facts about this sort of a thing. Story of Esther takes place 40 years after the temple was rebuilt. Now, that'd be Ezra. So they get all the temple built and go through all the hassle that they go through to get that thing built finally. So 40-some years later becomes this story. And, let's see, 15 years after Queen Esther saves the Jews, Ezra goes off to Jerusalem. Then 13 years later, Nehemiah built the wall. So this whole story here of Ezra, of Esther takes place between the temple being built and the wall being built. And that's Nehemiah. And yet in the Bible, Nehemiah comes before Esther. And so you just have to tell your kids it's the way God wants it. Because I really don't know why. We know that the Bible is not chronologically put together. So I did order a chronological Bible the other day. I'm curious to have one and see it, and just kind of look at some little things that take place. I'm kind of interested to see how that thing works out. So anyway, I'm going to guess that y'all have read it. But the only way, it's like doing a book report. You guys have to do book reports at home for the family? Sorry, no? Book reports are something I just despise when I was a kid. Did you? I just really hated it. I just wanted to read the back cover of the book and just tell that to them and be done with that. Read the book yourself. I don't care. Or get up there in the house to tell the story of a book, but you tell them the whole book. And the teacher gives you, 5 minutes to do a book report on War and Peace or something. Great big huge, huge thing. So I'd dig into the encyclopedia and I'd find some kind of a summary of the thing. And then this guy named Cliff came along and he was a hero to so many people. Cliff's Notes, and you could do that kind of a thing. But I don't know how else to do Esther but to stand here and read it, which I will not do. I mean, I won't do that. I like to do that. I wish I had a reading radio voice like Scorby or something. This really is a neat story to read. You know, for the kids, Caitlin, haven't you read Esther? Ever read to you or whatever? Do it again. It's just a fun story to talk about. And I was thinking one of the things they put out here on the Feast of Purim is they say that Esther is an excellent story to act out and is to have characters, in the whole deal. And I have a problem with drama in churches. So just the last couple of minutes I was thinking, should I mention that? It'd be kind of fun to get the kids involved, and Haman right there. I mean, there's the guy right there. And we could just get into this thing and have the different queen and the king and all this kind of, there's king right there, and the kids will learn the story and the whole deal. But then I just got to thinking, because that's a huge, huge trend in churches today. It's a huge trend. And I just see difficulties with that. One is the fact that becomes truth and not the scriptures. And somebody always changes the story. I mean, they just always have to change the story. That isn't a very good thing to say, hey, man, let's have you read this instead. Then that becomes not true. Then here we got two queens, and we don't need to be looking upon the girls. We don't need to have the girls know that they've been looked upon along those lines. And who always comes out the ones the kids remember the most? Same thing happens in music. the bad guy. So Haman would come out the hero because, see, I mean, you'd be the bad guy, but everybody would say, oh, Austin did such a good job with him. Was it Haman, right? With this guy. And some of it doesn't ring, that doesn't sound right to me, but it is Haman, right? Yeah. And who would be Esther? Every girl would want to be Esther, so then we'd have to have auditions, and who makes the prettiest and the best acting? Esther, and then you pick them, and then other girls are hurt forever and mad at you forever, and it just would have, and Sam probably wants to be the bad guy because he's been such a good guy for so long. And then we got to spend money on the set. Got to have, I mean, everything is just, this is king stuff. What's going on in the machine there? You're staring. Is there? You know, we have to watch the computer now, Sam, because that thing is jumping back and forth to the cam microphone and this microphone, especially up there too. So that's just right up in the right corner. That's the sound thing. Click up there. Right, but up in the corner of the sound thing, you can check up there, and it'll say what was being activated. And if the second problem is still doesn't solve that, you go to the cam settings, and you go to the little microphone there, and another place you can disengage it from the cam. There's two things that have been fighting me lately on that sound thing, because it really shouldn't matter what you plug in first. It didn't used to matter. So get that thing figured out there, and then always be alert to the cam. I guess Wednesday night people heard Gary just coughing and gagging through the whole sermon because he's sitting right underneath the thing. So now you also have to be careful when you sit in the back of the church. You're sitting there talking with each other and criticizing the pastor and stuff. Everybody's out there listening to you. I didn't know that about him. Wow, that's pretty cool. So be careful with that thing. So, and when you read the story with your kids, if you do that, which I hope you do, but I don't know if you do those things just because I recommend it. You probably don't then. Take your time and just explain. I mean, still you got to hear the scripture. Scripture scriptured as scripture is written. And then, you know, be afraid to summarize it for them. But it's just neat stuff. Now, I know I did a kind of a word study on that. There's some words that kept coming out to me in there. One of them was favor, F-A-V-O-U-R. And look at chapter 2, verse 15 of Esther. And we know that the Old Testament is there for our end sample. It's there to learn from, admonition, etc., etc. It's not to be our example. But there are some interesting things that get you to thinking here. Esther chapter 2, verse 15, where it talks about Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Look at 17. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained favor, but she also obtained grace and favor. And I just look at that and I say, well, that'd make a good sermon illustration there. Here's the king and his queen, and not only does she obtain favor from the king, but grace. So grace and favor in his sight. And then I see that I'll save that one here. Look at chapter 5, verse 2. Now this is your king and queen stuff. This is Princess Bride to the max, without all the dumb stuff that's in Princess Bride. For those of you that think everybody's watched that thing, you've got the king and you got royalty, and then you've got here in chapter 5, verse 2, it says here, the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court. So you got this beautiful court area, the king, the throne, all that stuff. So you've got the court, and it says she obtained favor in his sight. Again, there it is, she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter, you know, the stick or whatever, and boing, you just picture this stuff in all these fairy tale things. This is a true story. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter, boom, or whatever, you grab it, however she would have done that. And I think you know the story that she's going to go see the king, but she hasn't seen the king in quite a while. I think it's a month. The way it was set up in those days, that if the king didn't invite you into his court, and you went into that court, and he didn't want you in that court, you'd be killed. I mean, you'd be killed. Wow. I mean, so, and you know the story. She's going to go in anyway, because if he doesn't want to see her, he hasn't seen her for a while now.
she could, that's asking for trouble. Cruising for a bruising, going in there if you're supposed to go in there. You got any rooms in your house you're not supposed to ever go into? I mean, there's just so many little ways to think about that sort of a thing. Look at chapter 5, verse 8. And she says, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition, what a way to talk to your husband and to your king. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, if it please the king. Oh. Look at chapter 7, verse 3. There it is again. Vanessa the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king. And then she goes and talks. But chapter 8, verse 5 has it all. Chapter 8, verse 5. Here it is, ladies. At first I thought this is a lot like saying, you know, if you love me, you'd get me that car. Or something, you know. If you love me, you'd get that house painted like between now and next week. If you love me. But this isn't what she says. It just says, when you say, if you love me, you would da-da-da-da, that's putting it on the king. You know, if you got it together and love me like you should, is kind of what that thing says. But she's just the opposite. If it pleased the king. Her point is to please the king. Not if you love me, but if I please you, if it pleased the king. That's number one. Number two, and if I have found favor in his sight. Number three, and the thing seemed right before the king. And number four, if I be pleasing in his eyes, you can have what you want. And it's not putting it on him at all. It's on her. That if I please the king, if I found favor in his sight, and if it seems right, according to you, and if I be pleasing in his eyes. You want to get yourself a new car? Get rid of the curtains, get rid of the stuff, and just, you know, just come up there, just you're decked out as blue as beauty, and there's what you say. Now, girls, this is how you do your parents. This is how you do your dad. See, now, Danica's not here to hear this. You kept her home just for that reason. And you girls know that it's not your mom you need to wrap around your finger. It's your dad. You probably already learned that. No? Still got stuff going on?
Yeah, your wife, like all of you.
Well, just tell them to just relax and... I'm in front of the blue thing here, all that stuff. Get rid of the color there. Okay, so girls, here you go. Then let's look at it in a practical basis here. You want to talk to your dad, and you want to get some room in the court, because your dad's busy. He is one busy... I mean, your dad comes home, he just crashes. He's so tired from... You know, your dad talks to probably 5,000 people a day trying to sell them furniture. And your dad's out there, I mean, digging dirt all day long, fixing kids that your brother's broke. All the time he's doing that. So, here's what you got to consider. You want something from your dad? Here's what you consider. Will it please your dad? If this pleases your dad, okay? Now, will this make dad happy if I had this? Okay? Now, think of something you want that your dad won't get you. You got something? I bet you do. Probably got 50 things in there. Amanda, grabbing your dad's arm and hugging him, she doesn't do this here. That isn't what works. That isn't what works. What works is, will it please your... Whatever it is you're going to ask him to do or have or whatever, ask yourself, and then will it please him if you get this or do this? Okay, that's number one. If I have found favor in his sight. Oh, this is usually where it dies, right there. Have I been dealing with dad would have me to do and da, da, da. It still doesn't work to hug, Amanda. It doesn't work to hug. It's not in here. And if it seems right before the king, is this the right thing to do? Is this the right thing to have based on what your dad thinks? Not on what you think, but on what your dad thinks. You just don't talk now, Kayla, because see, you do have to ignore what I'm doing because you know that your procedure is different than this. I'm telling you girls how to get your dad on your finger, wrap your dad around your little finger there. Okay, if it pleases your dad.
Have you found favor in his sight? Are you doing what he wants you to do? Is he pleased with you here? It says, and the thing seemed right before the king. You want your dad to, this is the right thing to do. So you go to your dad with the right thing to do. Now there is another place we break down. What you think is the right thing might not be what your dad thinks is the right thing. Now we've got a problem. She didn't argue with him. So we don't want to argue. However, what is the right thing to do? Based on the scriptures. So if you're going to go at your parents or something with something you want or need to do or whatever, make sure you understand scripturally if it's right. Because see, if it's scripture when it's right, and you say, I certainly hope I hope it pleases Dad. I hope it pleases Dad what I'm going to ask here. And I hope I found favor in his sight with what I'm going to ask here. And I hope it's the right thing. And it's the right thing based on the scriptures. You're in. But see, if your dad doesn't think it's the right thing, and it is the right thing, and you don't get it, that's okay. You're right. And that's how you need to be. Doesn't mean you're always going to get it, because sometimes dads don't get what's right. Because those dads sometimes are pretty dense. You know what dense means? It's like the difference between, you know what balsa wood is? That real light balsa wood that you can cut with a knife? You know what balsa wood is? Okay. How about a straw? You know what straw is, right? For chocolate malt? You ever get a chocolate malt and you suck on it, it goes right up? Sometimes you get a chocolate malt and you got to suck your ears in your head to get it out of there? You can't get it? That's dense. That is real tight stuff. So, how do I get into dense? Oh, dads. Us dads are quite dense. Sometimes we just don't think. Sometimes we don't get it. Dads are famous for that. And then if I be pleasing in his eyes. Doesn't say hug your dad, man. That does not work. It doesn't work. All it does is distract him and it makes him fall asleep because there's nothing neater than he's gone and then he can do what you want. See? I see what you're doing. I've heard. You put dad to sleep, you can do anything you want in that house. I've heard that. So we can learn from Esther. You really can. Okay, now, just imagine. What are again? You're going to talk to your dad. Okay, if it pleases your dad, have you found favor in his sight? Is it the right thing? Before your father, is that the right thing? And are you pleasing in his eyes? Has he been seeing you do the right thing and good things and pleasing and that kind of a thing? And you get what you want. Maybe. See, the king can still make the final decision. And Esther went to the king knowing that if he doesn't like this, I'm dead. Because that's what would have happened to her. So when you go to your parents or your dad, especially your dad, because moms, you know, your mom's got everything figured out. You can't get anywhere with your mom. I realize that. But it's the dad that you can snooker. So if you go into your dad, just realize that if he doesn't agree to this thing, you're dead. You're in big trouble. What are you doing asking me that? And you could end up grounded for 20 years. He could prevent you from ever having a husband. See? That's probably what happened. Anyway, and yet what she was asking the king saved the whole clan. Right? In the story, all the Jews would have been annihilated, would have been killed. But Esther goes into the king and she wasn't invited. And she knew that if he doesn't get this, doesn't want to talk to her, she's a dead woman. And she made sure that if it pleased the king, if I found favor in your sight, and if it seems right before you, and I'd be pleasing in his eyes, I'll bet you she worked a couple minutes before she went in there. Got everything just all... I forgot to do that this morning, but I'm not trying to please you in your eyes, so... Or whatever. And she went in. And if it wouldn't have worked, she was dead, and so was everybody else in her family. All the Jews. Dead. Gone. She had a lot at stake there. But she went in, and it was the right thing, and she did please the king, and she was pleasing in his eyes, and it worked. And all the Jews were saved. If it wasn't for Esther doing what she did, the Jews would have all been killed, and we wouldn't have a Savior today. We wouldn't. You wouldn't be here. You'd be out there. We wouldn't even be out there because people don't realize in this whole entire earth, this world, has been civilized, has been made civilized. They're like animals in the earlier years. Not that they were animals, but they were just crude and dirty and just killers and, yeah, there's animals. And barbarians. And Christianity has cleaned up the world. Now everybody's mad at God, doesn't believe God exists, and they're doing what they want again, so they're going back. So it's going back to the scuzz days. But you know, if it wasn't for Christ, the Savior of this world, if they would just turn to Him, we wouldn't even have the clothes we have. We wouldn't have the schools and the towns and the food that we have in America. I mean, you start going down this list of all things that people didn't even realize we wouldn't have the life we have if it wasn't for the Lord. Whether they've got the Lord or not, this humanity has cleaned up because of Him. So if they never would have had the Jews, if Esther wouldn't have done what she had done, Mordecai hadn't figured out what was going on, and Haman would have had his way, Haman would be the hero. Way to go, Austin. I'm sure God would put you in your place. And he had everything planned, and the whole thing got totally turned around on the guy. He was going to get Mordecai hung because Mordecai just didn't even want to bow down to Haman. But you'd be Mordecai. This time you bow down to Haman. And Sam goes, I'm no way, Austin. We got a little conversation going on before the dinner is served, and we got a problem here. And then Sam goes to Dad, Dad, did you know that Austin was plotting to take over the farm? He's already talked to bankers and the whole deal. He was gonna borrow some money from you, and then he was gonna see to it that your back hurt, and he was gonna just have to take over the farm by foreclosure. He was gonna do that sort of a thing. And then Sam hears about this and goes, "Hey, oh man, should I go into Dad? I don't know. Not that you're the queen or anything, but Mordecai, I guess I'm not gonna go. I can't. I'm not the queen. I mean, I'm not ugly. And I hadn't. I'll talk to Olivia. I'll go talk to Olivia. Hey, Olivia." Did you know what's going on? Austin is going to try to take over the farm. He's going to make Dad have a bad back, get all the paperwork signed in his name, and in a couple of years, he's going to own the farm. And we're dead. Because you don't want those two around. They're not part of, they're the Jews. You know? And so, Olivia, oh. And Austin, or Sam says, Olivia, you've got to go talk to him. Because Dad doesn't, I mean, it doesn't work. You work Dad so well. You just got him wrapped around your finger so much. You go talk to Dad. Oh boy, I don't know, Sam. I haven't talked to Dad in a long time. He's been so busy, and I'm not even sure he loves me anymore. But for the sake of the farm, I'll go in there. Dad, if it pleases you, Dad, and if I've been a good little girl, and this is the right, I want you to see this is the right thing. How do I look today? Oh, you just look cute. Did you know that Austin's trying to take over the farm? In a second, she's thinking, I'm either going to be dead or this is okay. Because see, Dad was really busy. He was sleeping, taking a nap in the bedroom. And you don't bother Dad when he's sleeping in the bedroom. You don't wake up Dad for anything. You know that story. You walk in there, you're, boy, Dad, what? You could be in big trouble. You woke him up. Austin's trying to take over the farm, really? Well, yeah. And he was going to have, he had this trap set out in the field. And you were going to step in this trap and fall down there and break your back. Oh, okay. Get this thing all figured out. Hey, Austin, why don't you walk across this trail right here for me? What? Oh, no, I don't want to do that. See, because you know there's a trap set. And what happened to Haman? He was hung in his own trap. Yeah. This hangman's place, hangman, all I can think of is the game hangman, for Mordecai, and Haman had to be hung by his own trap. Boy. And then, now... Everybody, I mean, we live happily ever after, you know. Oh, and when he went into your dad, he picked up this, I guess he'd pick up anything, but you know when dads come over to you and they go pat, pat, pat on the head to the little girls? Pat, 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 pat. You ever had that happen? Pat, 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 pat. No, Amanda, hugging him doesn't work. Dad, take your hand and pat him on the head. Oh, nice little girl. See how that works?
You live in your whole life. Louis, give Olivia a little pat on the head there. Come on, see? Oh. And you're like little kittens, and you just start, what do you start doing? You're purring away, and you've scored points with Dad, and you've rescued the farm. And Mordecai, who was such a good guy, to have told Esther this sort of a thing, then Dad says, Sam, I'm giving you all the profits times 100. Oh, this is, and you get to drive the new truck. Yeah, and you get to drive the new truck, and I get you all sorts of new clothes, and you become the hero of the thing. And then us, every year we have to celebrate Kench Day. Because if it wasn't for the Kenches, nobody in this town would be here. So because you rescued the Kench farm, you know, the hills are alive with the sound of music. That kind of, we would just be, every year we'd have to get together and have whatever the Kenches like to eat the most. You'd make some kind of a thing. And we'd have to do that every year to celebrate happiness, and that's what they do. See how that story works out? What do you think? You gonna try it now? Why not? It worked for Esther. You think your way works best? Oh, yeah. Anyway, did you know that Vashti was the bad lady here? Right? Do you know how she went to see the king? She went to see the king in the Crown Royal. That's a kind of a car. It's a Crown Royal car, kind of a special thing. And then if I got this thing right here, let's see here. You know what happened to Haman? The king drove over his head with the Crown Royal, with this car. You know, look at Esther chapter 6. Esther chapter 6, verse 8. Everybody thinks that Haman was hung, but they had to squash his head with a car first, and then they could hang him. See, the Crown Royal was set upon his head. I think Crown Royal is a Buick. Is a Cadillac? Is it a Buick? Lincoln? There we go, see? They had to drive on his head to get his head to fit in the noose. Because, see, Mordecai was a little guy, and Haman was a big guy. So the noose that he had for Mordecai was too small, so they had to shrink his head a little bit to get it in the noose. So they had to drive over with a Crown Royal to get it in the noose. Then they hung the guy. See what happens with... Now, that story would have been a lot more people into the play that night if we'd have had the car driving over his head, you know, all this kind of stuff. So you got to change the scriptures a little bit to make it more exciting. And that's not true. But that's what people think. So we'll stick to the truth of the story. He was not killed by a car. But the word royal. Here's a word study on the word royal. They had royal wine. They had a royal house. They had a crown royal, the royal crown here. They had the royal estate. She had royal apparel. When you get up in the mornings, what do you put on? Your scuzzy junk, or do you put on your royalty clothing? I mean, you want to just be the girl that just pleases God. And you don't just put on worldly stuff. You dress in the way that pleases God. And that would be royal apparel, pleasing God. Royal throne in the royal house. And it says here, look at chapter 8, verse 15. Royalty. And Mordecai went out from, I can just picture Sam in this stuff. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white. What do you got on today? Blue? Got a t-shirt on? Oh, you don't? Must be nice to live in those days. You don't have to have all that perspiration sponge to wear. But if you had a t-shirt, it'd be white, right? You don't wear pink or anything like that. Okay, white t-shirt. And socks, what color socks you got?
Black.
That's good. You don't wear white socks and stuff like this. That's good. Anyway, you come out of the house with blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. Royalty. Royal colors. And the city of Shushan, or the city of Tushi, rejoiced. Sam is their hero. Rescued the farm, rescued the town. But yet it was all because of sweet little Olivia, who went and told Mordecai what was going on. And Austin, you're in big trouble. I'm not even sure
this already hasn't taken place somewhere along the line. Daddy, did you know what Austin did yesterday? You think she's ever ratted on you? Well, I've never had anything to be ratted on. That was supposed to be your answer. And Sam's over there smiling. You are right, Austin. And here's another one now, and that's the word head. Just a couple word studies on the word head. There's one, why would you want to talk about head? Because in this Feast of Pure, one of the things they make that everybody eats, let's see here, was called Abadashim or something like that. It was called Hamantashim. They have this little cookie. Do you get my nod? That's totally, totally understandable. Yeah. Hamantashim is a three-corner, it's just taking a little, I guess it, from what I could tell in the recipe, you take this little squared thing, little square piece of dough, and you fold it over like three different times or something. Round, okay, that has to be round, okay. Then you fold over three times, 3 points on this thing. Then you put some poppy seed in there or some jelly or jam or just pour a sugar cube. Probably just need a sugar cube in there and it'd be good enough. And they did that because they thought that Hammond had a three-cornered hat. So that was one of the, that's what they think. Because it doesn't say three-cornered hat. I thought before I yacked about this, I'd better look at that thing and see what he had for a hat. I don't remember reading that in there. Because a three-cornered hat, I think, didn't Davy Crockett was, no, he wore a raccoon hat. So who had the revolutionary guys had the three-cornered hat? See, they're all, and that was Britain, right? I guess our guy, I guess I won't go anywhere with that then. Okay. Did you practice all this? No, this is totally flapping the wings. I'm sure you recognize that. Okay, so they also thought that Haman had bribe money in his pockets. Because a Hamantashen is a poppy seed filled, and a that does that. Cancer someday, I know it will be. Tashen means pockets. In German, pockets. What do you got in your Tashen? And, where am I at here? And mohn, M-O-H-N, means poppy seed. So whenever you come home and you're moaning, oh, I've been a hard day, you're basically acting like a little poppy seed. So, I didn't know poppy seeds acted that, but that must be what it is. So they thought he had bribe money, or they think the three-corn cookie thing is because Esther had Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, the three patriarchs of the Jews. So that was, you know what? They don't know why they do what they do. They don't know why they have three-quartered cookies. But somewhere along the line, somebody started this thing, and who knows why. Some of these folks think that when they eat that cookie, they're eating Haman's hat, which destroys his memory. It destroys the memory of Haman. Not his memory, but it destroys the memory of Haman. Eat his hat, get rid of the, forget about the fact that Haman never existed. Okay, you ever think about that? That they're trying to get rid of the memory of this guy, and yet every year they do it. So they're not getting rid of the memory. The guy is getting a party named after him almost at the very end. But anyway, what else do they do in this thing? Oh, they have, they also thought that maybe sometimes his ears were clipped. That's why when he bent down to the king, because he was humbled, I guess in those days they'd clip your ears. What do they do today? You go to dad, what does he do? Boom! Boxes your ears. If you think that hurts, can you imagine having your ears cut off? Maybe try that one during the week. If they don't obey, can she clip their ears if they... I did it on the dog. I clipped his ear the other day, almost cut that ear off, I guess. Whatever. Okay. Then they have what they call the Mishlach, I guess you got to do a thing, don't you? So it's Mishlach Menot, or Mano, whatever. And during this Feast of Purim, everybody gives everybody gifts. Whoa, you mean we could do Christmas and Purim? Purim is done in March. So we could get gifts during Christmas, and then we could do this Feast of Purim, it's called, and give everybody gifts. Yes, but the only thing is in the Feast of Purim, all the gifts are food. And what's wrong with that? Real fine delicacies. They give each other they go to the main bakery, the good bakery in town, and they get all these just fine little dainties, the delicacies, you know, kind of a thing. So they do that. And then when anytime anybody ever mentions the word Haman, they got this little stick with a little ratchet thing. I ever heard those?
It does not help to hug your dad's arm. You did not listen to me today, did you? So they take this, we call it the ratchet. So anytime we would say the word Haman, they would make this noise with a ratchet, then they hiss. So I'm ready? Ready? Got your grogger? It's called a grogger. Get your groggers up. How does a grogger sound? Okay. Now we're going to have the guys do the grogger because they can grog better than ladies. And the ladies are going to hiss. They're good hissers. How'd you do it today? How's the house look?
I don't think so.
Anyway. Ready? I'm going to mention the word Haman, and you got to and girls are going to ratchet your grogger, and the guys are going guys are going to ratchet the grogger, and the girls are going to hiss. You ready? You going to do this, Lewis? Come on. Get your hand up. Get this grogger here. Here we go. This is on camera. Hey, yes, it is. let's see. We went to town and we saw. Hey, go ahead. Haman. See? You can just tell when the word is coming. You got to quit do it. Ready? Haman. Yeah, see? You got to get rid of that memory of that guy. Oh, let's see here. Look at John chapter 5, verse 1. During this Feast of Purim, they also, the Jews, they read the book of Esther. But they read it from a scroll. That's this great big huge scroll. And that scroll is called a Megillah. I said, I know. I'm thinking the Megillah, the gorilla. But I can't go there because it's very disrespectful. So you went there. It's your fault, not mine. The Megillah. And it's probably not pronounced Megillah. It's probably Megillah or something like that. But John chapter 5, verse 1, it talks about that Jesus attended a feast. And they say that this is the only feast that would have been available during this time of year, which is in our times, is in March, is the time of March. Between December and April is when this feast would take place, and there's no other feast that takes place. So they just figured that Jesus went and attended the Feast of Purim. The problem is they don't think much of Jesus. Isn't that a strange thing? I mean, they'll talk about him and they'll go along, but they just don't believe that he's a Savior. So here are the Jews today waiting for the Savior. And this fake guy who's going to come down, called the Antichrist, is going to sign the Savior. You know what they're going to think? That's the Savior. And they don't realize the Savior's already come. And even their own Esther made it possible so that Savior could still come. And they celebrate what Esther did to save the nation, deliver the nation from the wicked Haman. You're just slow this morning. You're just too slow for this thing. And they don't realize that Esther made it possible for their Savior to come, and they rejected the Savior when he came. So, it's just, they don't realize that they're a lot like Haman. There we go. Okay. Are the Kalamas out there today? Okay, are the boys doing the Haman thing? I hope so. But then we'll lose Nathan the rest of the morning to get him started. He's out of the picture. Look at chapter 3 of Esther. Let's go back to chapter 3 of Esther. Now, we're kind of skipping the story because I think you've all read the story. The girl's all nodding her heads, yes, yes. Even though Amanda still thinks it's easier to hug her dad's arm than it is to be a good girl and please him, then, well, I guess she's not going to get near the stuff Caitlin gets because Caitlin knows how to do this now. Now, the big test, girls, is to try this on patients during the week. She's kind of like the king during the week because the real king's out there making gold. So you try to, what are you going to have to do? Try to please her in her eye, you know, kind of a thing. You're going to learn all that stuff and see if it works. Chapter 3, verse 7, does it say there they cast poor, that is the lot? So is that what it says there, I think, in that verse somewhere? Okay. They call this the Feast of Lots as well as the Feast of Purim, Feast of Lot. Oh, let's see. What else can we do here? Watch, I thought Haman was a bad guy. How do I hear the groggers, though? No, it's not. If you want your girls to do this thing right, you gotta really hate Haman. And we had those ratchets in bands. So you got to hold this thing up. And you love doing it. You just rattle it. Let's practice the grogging. Guys, are you ready? You don't have to do it because this is all for you. So when you get home, you just don't mention the word. All the time, every time you hear the word awesome, and you go, that's awesome. He's our Haman this week. Ready? Ready? Got groggers? Ready? Come on, ready? We got it now. Let's hear the hissers. You've been doing that before, I can tell. And another fact here, this guy named Julius Streicher, who was a Nazi criminal, yelled out when they hung him, Purim 1946, he was referring to the book of Esther. So, you know, the whole world has always wanted to get rid of the Jews.